Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Some of these headlines, I just don't even know what's happening. All right, so first up, we've got, I don't know where to start. We've got a video. This is crazy. Do we have this video? So it's a Florida man who's getting arrested. It's in Southwest Miami-Dade. And I can't play. Can we play? Actually play it? Are we safe to play it?
No audio.
Okay, no audio. If we're going to be safe and not have any audio. Okay. So it's...
Censored. It's censored.
Okay.
I just hit you again. What the...
For the first time, we are seeing body camera video when Miami-Dade police say they were assaulted by a quadriplegic man. A case so unusual, even the judge at first appearance seems surprised.
I have truly never seen a case like this.
It happened May 1st. Police were called to the Southwest Miami-Dade home of Brian Amastha, also known as El Valiente, his stage name when he's performing music. According to the report, Amastha and his mother, seen here in red, were involved in an argument. But when mom is put in handcuffs, this happens.
No, bro, don't do that.
Brian, no, hey, stop hitting me with the chair,
man,
Brian.
Stop doing
that's a
that.
Battery on our wheel. Said-
when we interviewed Amastha back then, he told us this.
They claimed that I hit them with my wheelchair.
Did you?
I absolutely did not.
The report stated that you spit at an officer.
Right. So I suffer from acid reflux, so I normally spit. And I spat like the totally different direction.
But this is the video.
You want to listen or not?
Amastha also told us he felt humiliated during his arrest.
Bro, are you laughing at me, bro?
Because he was separated from his motorized wheelchair, which he says was damaged when it was put on a flatbed. You see one officer appearing to text someone, joking that they were going to put him on the tow truck. Officers later seen inspecting their legs. Amastha charged with 2 counts of battery on a law enforcement officer.
Yeah. So there you go right there. So that's one Florida man. Yeah. All right. So that's okay. Good. Yeah, we got that. Glad we got that one in. Oh, my word. A Florida man got revenge on an in-law's neighbor. The nightmare neighbor cut down his mom's tree, so he got revenge. It's a British Florida man who apparently got mad over his mother-in-law's neighbor. They cut down a bunch of palm trees that separated their property. And so he formed a privacy hedge. And so they, and it was for their pool. Their, what do they call those? The lanai? Is it like a lanai? Yeah, is that what it is? Yeah, where they have the glassed-in pool? I don't understand. It's a Florida thing. And so they basically are cutting down all the greenery on each other's property. That's what. And there's like different videos. We can't actually show the, well, we can show part of it, but don't show the part where they say the blanky neighbor.
Right, no, yeah,
got to be careful with that one. So he built a 68 feet of planter boxes, and I guess trying to dare the neighbor into doing something there. So I don't.
The planter boxes look great, though. It's
the planter boxes do look great, I have to say. They look very nice. So I don't know if that was like intentional from the neighbor that cut the trees down or what, but like it ended up looking a lot, very nice. So we have this. We also got the Florida man who I got the I don't want the people at the adult store. And I really don't want the people who got into who went to Taco Bell. Husband and wife went to Taco Bell. And they end up getting into a fight, and they threw the entirety of the contents of the bag of Taco Bell at each other during the fight. And the woman, because she was seen by police throwing the burrito at her husband's head, was the one who got arrested. Our awesome friends at Kel-Tec, which reminds me, I got to show you like some of the stuff that I've gotten recently and put it up on Instagram. It's been kind of a little bit busy with my pup, and he's not range trained yet, so we're he'd probably freak out. Anyway, I might have to show you some of the stuff I have because I got the P15. I got both versions. I got the polymer and I got the metal version. I don't know if you've checked out the P15. As you know, I concealed carry everywhere, and this is the lightest, thinnest double stack 9mm on the market. More so than my 43X. It's not even a joke. I love the polymer version, but the metal version has those wood grips, and it's just I don't know. It's like 60s bougie. It's like a James Bond gun. It's just real cool. I like it. It's fancy. It's for fancy care. You know, you get your polymer for, you know, your EDC. And then, you know, if you want to fancy it up, if, you know, you can have the wood grip panel out there. You need both, basically. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic two-dot rear. So you are on target all the time. Comes with two mags. You got the standard 15-round magazine with a minimal pinky extension and a flush-fit double-stack mag that holds 12 rounds as well. Compact, super ideal for everyday self-defense. And it's from the creators, the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It's Kel-Tec. Firearms quality made right here. Family-run company right here in the U.S. of A. Actually, in Florida. So you can check them out. It's the P15 Innovation Performance Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. I got to tell you, I was, and this is where I'm going to switch it up, because I feel, this is something I, particularly with regard to immigration, not just that I hear Kamala Harris talking about it, but I keep hearing this in a number of places, even places where I don't want to hear it. So I almost walked out of my church sermon this weekend. I have never felt like that in my entire life. I am sitting there and it's kind of been building for a few years. I will say that it really kicked off during lockdown because I was angry that churches closed during lockdown and ours was no exception. And I was really upset that our church had closed and, you know, and there's a lot of things that our church does with kids and, you know, women's clinics and things like that. And I was mad that all these services were stopping under bunk science, right? And then things reopened, et cetera. And I noticed, you know, the language had been kind of shifting. And I think we, I don't want to put my pastor on blast or anything like that, because I believe I'm very Book of Matthew about this. I want to go, or not Book of Matthew. I'm very, you know, I agree with Paul's teaching. You know, you take care of this, you know, behind the scenes, and, you know, you talk to people in the church. And then when all else fails, then you can go public. But I've been talking to a lot of friends of mine, and I feel like there's like this huge, I feel like there's a major problem with Church of Christ pastors, particularly lately, but a lot of problems with pastors in general. And there's been this language that's been seeping into these churches. I don't like mega churches. I don't like mega churches because I feel like it is the, they bash Catholicism while they want to make their own non-Catholic papacy. That's what I feel like corporate worship and mega churches are. I'm like, stay true to your mission, or just, you know, don't bash, you know, I don't get the criticism. So we're sitting in the the sermon, and it had been building for a little bit. And my pastor says that he just goes right into it. He's like, I want a fair and safe border. He said it twice. And I looked at my youngest son, who has zero tolerance for any of this. I don't want my church to be politicized in favor of my beliefs or against them. It should just be scripture. There's no politicization about that. Either be scripture and just preach from the Bible, or don't open your mouth. And there's a reason why the New Testament, you know, it talks about the responsibility that shepherds have. And, you know, I'm sitting there listening to this, and my husband was not happy. My kids were not happy. And there was zero differentiation made between people who come legally and people who come illegally. And the intimation that the pastor gave in a very sloppy way of presenting this was that essentially, if you have a problem with the complete deluge at the border and the complete unfettered crossing of every single person, then you're a racist. And the church has been really trying to push to expand ethnicity in the church, or diverse ethnicity, etc. And I think that when churches push things too hard, you make an idol of things, and they're making an idol of all of these other things other than what they should be talking about in scripture. But I was really, I was like, what is a fair and safe border? And then he misrepresented and said, you know, these asylees that are coming over. Do you realize that asylees are such a tiny fraction of people that are coming over? And there's a reason for that. When someone comes over as an asylee and that's processed as such, there are certain things that kick in as because of that. That's why it's not just, it's not semantics. Language matters because certain legal protections and certain parts of the law are triggered when certain words are used. And when people who say it's a game of semantics, the people who say that either are too stupid to have this debate, they don't know enough about the law to lecture about it, or they're completely clueless about the laws that make up the system in this republic. I mean, words matter for a reason. And there's a tiny percentage of these people that are coming across the border that are actually asylees. You know, I told you about the woman that I spoke with. She's a businesswoman, and I don't want to say her name, and I don't want to say what her business is, but they were from a South American country. And when she was a child, she and her mother and sibling had to flee in the dead of night and seek asylum protection. She, one of her father and brother had a construction company, and the brother got roped into money laundering for the cartel. And when he passed away, the father discovered, I mean, it's like a television series. The father discovered it and was like, and he's a devout Christian and was not going to allow this, was not going to do it. And if he had to die as a, you know, as a way to stand up against a cartel, that was going to happen. So they killed him. They killed him. They bombed her house. She said that when they were leaving, she was looking at the chart out, her chart out swing set when they were fleeing, and they came to the United States as asylees. There's a cap on how many asylees the United States can accept in a single year. And it's a very small number. So when you have people, most of these people coming across the border are young, military-aged men. In fact, they're predominantly men, predominantly young men. And it's not just men coming from Latin American countries. There are Chinese nationals coming in. There are Middle Eastern nationals coming in. There are African nationals coming in. And when you have every Tom, Dick, and Harry claiming asylum status, what about the people who actually are asylees, because they do exist, that are turned away because it's capped? That's what none of these people realized. And I'm sitting here listening to my pastor just toss this like it's beads at Mardi Gras without any actual full force of knowledge behind it. You can't just say things that you think validate your bias. And as a shepherd, you have a greater responsibility to your flock than that. And I get doubly aggravated because, you know, I'm like, there's a reason why Paul was telling women to be silent in the church. I get mad because I'm like, who else is going to speak up and say something about this? I was looking at a sea of men sitting there in that sanctuary, and not a single one of them, except for my husband and the men sitting with me, were disgruntled at the lies that were being spouted from behind the pulpit. There is something going wrong with our churches. Yes, our country, but I think it started in our churches. I'm sitting there listening to this, and I'm like, I cannot believe the venom that is being spat. For what? This is not, you can say that you want safe, legal border crossings. And it is biblical to respect the laws of your land. Book of Romans highlights this. It is absolutely biblical to respect the law of the land. You know what isn't biblical is to misrepresent and to castigate people sitting there in your pews who are going there to learn about Jesus, and to castigate them and impugn their characters and yoke them to the moral failing of bigotry because you don't know the facts of the matter. I was on fire Sunday. If people ever doubted the existence of God, his hand was on my head keeping me seated, because I was about ready to shoot through that roof. I was livid. And I still am, if you can't tell. I'm at listening to him say this stuff. And that wasn't the only thing. He said stuff like this before. I remember there was another time. Botham Jean was a black man who was shot and killed. You remember the whole story of Botham Jean? He was in his own apartment. There was a woman. She was a police officer, Dallas PD. She came back. She pulled like an 18-hour shift or something crazy. Walked into the wrong apartment. She thought it was her apartment, and it wasn't. The door was unlocked. It was Botham Jean. I think he was like eating ice cream or something in his own kitchen, and she shot and killed him. And it was a big thing. Well, it was already a bad situation enough. And yes, she was in the wrong. She killed him. We talked about that endlessly on this program. But what didn't help was when our pastor got up on stage and said, yes, as we know, you know, more black people are killed by police every year. I'm like, that's not even supported by statistics. That's not even supported by FBI figures. Why would you go up there and misrepresent things and further incite and divide? That is not a hallmark of Christ, nor is it a sign of a good shepherd. It's venomous. And I question the motivation behind it. And I am tired of having to sit in a church service and try to dig through the pastor's political bias to get to the heart of the message that he's delivering. Now, we had a debate in our family. I'm like, well, what do we do? Because I'm wanting to leave. I'm done. And we have some members of our family, my oldest son, too, who's very temperate. And I was like, well, you know, the church is under attack as well. The pastor's under attack. He's not infallible. I'm like, I agree. Well, you know, shouldn't you want to help him and get him on the right path? I agree. I tried that before, though. After the line that he had said about the police shooting deaths, I wrote, I don't like inaccessible pastors. I shouldn't have to go through for people that criticize the Catholic Church. I shouldn't have to go through a million different levels of hierarchy just to talk to my pastor. Never got a response. I don't expect a response because of what I do. I expect a response because I'm a member of the congregation. And I had a legitimate criticism, and I brought receipts. Never heard anything. I finally got like an email back, oh, thanks for the letter, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, are you serious? I have a problem with mega churches. I have a problem with corporate worship. I have a problem with churches that bash everything else. And, oh, we don't like the Pope. We don't like Catholicism. We don't like this or that. But we're going to sit here and create that. But we're different because we're not Catholics. We're going to create the non-Catholic papacy with corporate churches here in the U.S. I get aggravated by all of it. And I'm aggravated with my own church right now. I'm aggravated with the state of the kingdom on earth. And I don't know. I don't plan on going back next Sunday. I don't know if you guys have experienced something like this in your church. And I do think that, yes, you know, you got a responsibility. You stand up for your pastor, all this other stuff. But what happens when they're not receptive? What happens when they don't want to listen? What happens when their hearts have hardened because of political extremism?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, a Home Depot employee in her 70s was fired for failing to stop $5,000 in fraudulent transactions, according to a lawsuit. Doesn't this go again? Like, if they had tried to stop like theft before, wouldn't people get in trouble?
Yeah.
Anyway, she didn't stop fraudulent transactions. She got fired. And this was at apparently a Home Depot, the same one 3 months after a loss prevention officer was shot and killed trying to stop a theft attempt.
And she felt threatened by the guy that was at the
Yeah, so why would you maybe hire armed security? It sounds like the store has an issue. It's in San Ramon, California. It sounds like the store has an issue. Maybe hire armed security and don't expect the 72-year-old to take the hits for you. Good grief. State Fair of Texas no longer allows firearms on fairgrounds.
What?
Well, I won't be going to the damn State Fair. It's good grief. Yeah, they're not going to allow. They said there was a shooting that injured 3 people last year. So you had gang activity that resulted in a shooting. So, of course, obviously, let's make it to where the law-abiding people who could actually curtail some of this stuff, you know, heaven forbid if somebody decides to pop off, let's make it to where nobody can carry. I'm tired of the law-abiding always having to pay the penalty for criminals. And that's it. It doesn't matter if you have a license or not. And because the State Fair of Texas is a private not-for-profit organization, they can do that on the state fairgrounds. So I'm going to tell you, there is no way. And the 22-year-old, by the way, he was a prohibited possessor already with a criminal record. And he was already violating the law. So now because one criminal continued to violate the law, now they won't allow anyone to carry. So I won't be going. There's no way in hell would I go to the state fair. If they're not going to allow you to carry, no way, because they do not make sure that they have enough people there to make sure everyone's protected. So it's just a no, not at all. Let's see here. Drones warned New York City residents about storm flooding, but the Spanish translation drew tons of mockery. Apparently, they had the drones flying overhead in some neighborhoods and people were saying that literally wasn't Spanish. That was incomprehensible. They said they couldn't find anybody who spoke Spanish to actually deliver that alert. They said it sounded like a literal Google translation. Oh, goodness. And serious, though, when you're wanting people to listen to what the weather reports are. Yeah, did Jill Biden do it? It was probably Jill Biden that they had just do the...
What I would say to those people who think they've got away with being involved in the disorder on Tuesday or on Saturday, you absolutely haven't got away with it. We are coming for you. We've got hours of social media footage. We've got hours of CCTV footage. I've got officers working round the clock to identify who you are, where you live, where you work. We are coming for you. We'll be coming for you for the next few days. We'll be coming for you for the next few months. So you might get to next week. You might be sitting with a cup of tea thinking, phew, I've got away with it. Please let me reassure you, you haven't got away with it. We are coming for you. You will feel the full force of the law. We absolutely, I want to reassure the communities that we are absolutely able to cope with what's going on. We have got 8 PSUs here in Merseyside today. So what do I mean by a PSU? Each PSU has 1 inspector, 3 sergeants and 21 officers. That gives you the scale of the number of officers that we've got here able to respond, being supported by colleagues across the, from across the northwest. So yes, we are equipped. Are the officers who are getting injured having an impact? Yes, it is. But we absolutely have sufficient resources to cope.
Wow. So that's a good night. That's so crazy. So this is in the UK, because they're quite upset, as you know, over the rioting that's taking place all across the United Kingdom, Kane, due to the fact that they've got unfettered illegal immigration with boats arriving on the daily.
Don't really. Think you're getting away with being on social media. You're not getting away with that.
And if you can't talk nasty about any of this, you can't say, you can't talk about the riots, can't talk about any of it, because they'll come get you. What is she going to do? What are they going to come get you with? Sticks? Yep. They're not even allowed to be armed. They aren't even allowed to be armed. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of this third hour. We're already at the third hour. And I'm, you know, I got to tell you, it's just wild. The whole thing is crazy. They're just going nuts over there. They're going wild over social media. And I'm like looking at a couple of these headlines. Bear with me here. I'm looking at a couple of these. They're going wild because they see social media posts. They have this this statute that they've had in place for a number of years. But if you incite on social media, then they will like arrest you. There were people that had like what, a van that was wrapped with a pro-Christian message, and they were arresting people for talking about their Christian faith openly over there. I mean, this is just it's really, this is one of the reasons why people have been rioting, because the UK has been just hammering its own citizens but yet the people who have been involved with aggression, the criminality, the violence, etc., they've been getting slaps on the wrists. And that's one of the reasons why that people have kind of had it, and they've had these protests and then riots from some of these protests break out across Britain. And you had all of this really kicked off when they had the kids that were murdered by this 18-year-old British citizen born to Rwandan parents. And he went on the stabbing spree. And this is after, you know, you've had decades of the Rotherham stuff. This is how you've had people attacked, terrorist attacks, you know, people driving their cars into people. There's been a lot of stuff has been building. And so this was sort of, you know, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. And they've accused Elon Musk of somehow being culpable because people are able to speak on X. And so they've been, you know, kind of culpable with us. It's just wild. It's just, I mean, and then if you're in the United States, they've been threatening to try to, oh, well, we'll extradite you. I tweeted about that. I think it was over the weekend where they'll look into extradition possibilities if you're, you know, inciting or speaking against what they're trying to do in the UK. I mean, we had 1776 already, but they have no freedom over there. They said, Sky News talked to their police commissioner, and they said that the likes of Elon Musk, like that's how they referred to him. They were like spitting his name. Being a keyboard warrior doesn't make you safe from the law. What? This is crazy. Now, remember, they consider mere disagreement incitement. If you even so much as post a photo of people protesting, that's considered incitement. I mean, it's entirely up to them. Again, these are also the same law enforcement over in UK that visited this. She was like, what, a 14-year-old girl? She was on the autism spectrum, and they were targeting her because she saw a short-haired female police officer and thought that that police officer, by nature of having short hair, must be a lesbian like her grandmother, who has short hair and apparently was a lesbian. And the female police officer took offense and targeted the girl, and the parents were trying to explain, or the mother was trying to explain to the officer, look, this is how she interprets stuff. She's not doing this with malicious intent. She's just simply stating, oh my gosh. And they were targeted. They were going to drag this kid away. This is the stuff that they have to deal with over there. You have no freedom of speech. Kane, does it make you want to go over to Britain anytime soon?
Nope.
Me neither.
It does make me want to post stuff here just to see if they'll extradite.
To see if they'll do the extradition. I'm looking for this one story where they had examples of what they were trying to say was incitement, and it literally was just like people posting a disagreement with how the police were handling certain of these cases. That's not an incitement. That's, I mean, people have a free, I mean, that's a responsibility and an expectation in the United States to be able to criticize your governing authorities. But over there, they characterize it as incitement so as to scare people off from criticizing their governing authorities. See, that's the whole thing. That's the whole plan. I mean, good heavens. Keir Starmer, the prime minister, through his spokesperson, was saying there's no justification for Elon Musk's comments on Musk hasn't. He criticized Starmer's response to the riots. And he was like, you know, this guy's leading the UK towards a civil war. I mean, these are all labor policies, too, by the way. And Keir Starmer gets mad and says, oh, Elon Musk is inciting hate. And then they're acting like he's having this interview. Let me pull this up. He's having this interview with Trump. And I think I accidentally closed it, but he apparently there's like a they're trying to apparently, I guess, regulate how his conversation goes or something like that. The EU wants to dictate how Musk is going to conduct his conversation with Trump on X. The European Commission sent Musk this letter wherein they were telling him, quote, I'm writing to you in the context of recent events in the United Kingdom and in relation to the planned broadcast on your platform X of a live conversation between a U.S. presidential candidate and yourself, which will also be accessible to users in the EU. And they said they tell him, quote, I'm compelled to remind you of the due diligence obligations set out in the Digital Services Act, as outlined in my previous letter. And as the individual entity ultimately controlling a platform with over 300 million users worldwide, one of which one third is in the EU, has been designated a very large online platform, which, sidebar, they capitalize that very large online platform. Is that like a thing over there?
Apparently.
Is that like an actual classification?
I guess.
Is that? They continue, you have the legal obligation to ensure X's compliance with EU law and in particular the DSA in the EU. So they said that they're demanding mitigation measures put in place regarding the amplification of harmful content in connection with relevant events. They said they want informing EU judicial and administrative authorities without undue delay on the measures taken to address their orders against contact considered illegal according to national or EU law, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They remind him that they already have formal proceedings going on against X under the DSA, notably in areas linked to dissemination of illegal content and effectiveness of measures taken to combat disinformation. It's not disinformation. I mean, it's actual people's videos from like protests and riots, etc. They're like threatening him, though. They said that any negative effect of illegal content on X in the EU, which they add, could be attributed to the ineffectiveness of the way in which X applies the relevant provisions of the DSA, may be relevant in the context of the ongoing proceedings and overall assessment of X's compliance with EU law. This is in line with what has already been done in recent past. And they so they're threatening him. Like, don't talk about any of this stuff. Don't show any of this stuff. Don't get into any of this stuff. And Terry Breton. And then they have the CEO of XCC'd. So they're seeing this conversation and they're threatening it because they can't shut X off. So they're threatening him, essentially. This is wild. I mean, it's not anybody else's fault that the EU is having an immigration problem, that the UK is having this kind of issue, that they're seeing an uptick in crime and assault and murders and et cetera, violent crimes. And to talk about that isn't incitement, nor is it misinformation, disinformation, or anything else that they any way other, that they want to spin this. Just something else. He's but immediately, Keir Starmer hasn't been in office very long, and he and Musk already dislike each other. Keir Starmer's a far, far left Marxist. He's a Marxist. He's a labor leader, but he's a Marxist. And he's essentially tripled down on continuing all of the same policies that have put the UK in this position. He was against Brexit, all this other stuff. This is pretty unbelievable.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.